I'm Keith Plocek, as you can see from my Twitter handle. I'm director of web content and traffic for Village Voice Media. On the flyer, it says LA Weekly. That's one of our companies. I was the web editor, but I recently changed jobs, so I promise there's not a bait and switch going on or anything like that. Just a real quick intro before we get in. So Village Voice Media, we are 13 alt weeklies, Village Voice, LA Weekly, Phoenix New Times, locally Houston Press and Dallas Observer. We also have some national blogs. We cover all kinds of things. We cover, you know, we're not weekly, so we cover arts, entertainment, food, music, news, tech. We also do occasionally cover things that are feature nudity, such as this montage of Rick Santorum made out of gay porn. We did not create this. We did not create this. We covered it. So there's a big, and that's what I'm going to be arguing or talking about a lot through as we go through this stuff, is that I'll be drawing a distinction between what not safe for work journalism is, which is covering things that are out there, versus creating things. We're not creating nudity, but sometimes it happens. And then we're going to go through, of course, you know, some of our thinking behind it and how we're promoting it and how you can also help. Hopefully, if you've got your own sites, how you can help with that as well. So we're going to just run through some images real fast, just to kind of get everyone up to speed on what's going on. This is a party in Vegas. This is like in the middle of a slideshow. This is quite possibly the most popular image we've ever run on any of our sites. I'm actually not kidding. It's a Star Wars burlesque show. This is a pool party in New York with a pig and a man getting his pants pulled down. This is, just lest you think it's all going to be sweet stuff, this is the Gathering of the Juggalos. It's a yearly event for fans of Insane Clown Posse. This is a protest at Occupy Los Angeles. There's a man getting arrested. This is a pool party as well. Obviously, they're in the water. This is the view that many musicians get when they're playing their shows. So what are we looking at here? Basically, we're looking at pictures of half-naked people and fully naked people in public places. All these images ran as slideshows on one of our sites. So maybe you're running these images too, or maybe you want to start running them, but you're trying to figure out how to present them without pandering, looking like you're pandering or denigrating your brand, because that can definitely happen. Or maybe you just came here to see pictures of naked people, and I think we'll be able to help you out on all that. I don't plan on laying out strict rules here. I mean, because a lot of this has to deal with nudity in general. I mean, obviously. And nudity in our culture, we associate it with sex. Oftentimes it doesn't have anything to do with sex, but we also happen to have sex when we're nude. So a lot of this is going to touch on the sexuality, and there aren't strict rules. I mean, anyone who's taking, you know, a freshman liberal arts class knows, there aren't strict rules about what sexuality is and what sexy is and what appropriate sexuality is. I mean, there's definitely some rules about what's really inappropriate, but we won't be dealing with that. So our core thing is nudity happens, and we're not going to hide from it. Readers want authenticity. We're definitely not going to also plaster on our homepage. Like all these images you're seeing, these wouldn't have been on our homepages. That would be the equivalent of putting it on the front of our newspaper and throwing it on the newsstand. So we're not going to plaster these images on our homepage, but we're also not going to hide them very, very secretly. We're not trying to flaunt them. If someone just comes to one of our websites because they want a review of a taco stand or they want to read about last night's play, we're not going to plaster imagery above the fold that they might turn them off. Like, we don't want to do that. Why would we do that to our readers? That's like the online equivalent of flashing them. But that said, we're not going to hide them in some sketchy back room of our website, because it's nothing. What you'll see in a lot of these images, I mean, we're covering things that already exist and are out in the open, and we don't feel the need to hide them from anyone. But so, like, we'll begin, like, talking a little about news coverage, because I think a lot of times, like, nudity makes the news, and I'm not just talking about when PETA has someone get naked on the street so everyone will write about it. Nudity happens in the news quite often, really, because reporters like to write about it, let's be honest. But at the same token, I mean, like, here's the famous Anthony Weiner photograph. I'm sure you guys knew about this in the news. Anthony Weiner, the congressman, got, you know, busted texting images to someone who was not his wife. The thing is a lot of media outlets didn't actually run the photo. Other photos came out later that were actually more not safe for work, including one that is repeatedly his erect penis. But this is just, this was the image that started it all. And by having some media outlets not even run it at all, or not even give their website, their readers access to that photo, it often just made it, it became a political act in itself, because you just start describing it, and anytime you start describing nudity, I think everyone's a little bit dirtier than they want to admit, and they're actually going to start imagining things that are far worse than what it was actually done. I'm not defending Anthony Weider cheating on his wife by sending Twitter photos, but I think when people start talking about him tweeting lewd photos and you don't show the photo, in large part, I'm imagining some sort of orgiastic absurdity, and you know, and this is not appropriate, of course, for a congressman to do, but by the same token, like, this is actually what happened. So, I mean, just looking at some of the stuff we do, on a slightly less serious note, as a congressman, we, you know, like, in L.A., we have, for some reason, last year was really crazy. We had naked people running down the freeway. We had naked people climbing towers. This is how we dealt with the naked man climbing the tower. It was something we were going to cover because it was, you know, a police emergency, and everyone was involved in it. By the same token, though, we're not going to put the photo above the fold. We have it very prominently tagged, not safe for work. And you can kind of, if you really squint, you can imagine a naked guy atop that tower. He didn't die, by the way. I don't know why I said dead. But you can, we can't see it until you go below the fold. Same thing here. We had the scandal erupted on the USC campus with these two students got caught having sex on top of a building. And this actually, we did not safe for work tag this because this is as good as it gets. They were very far away. But we still put more of explicit zooms down below. But again, we wanted to make sure that we didn't put this right in our readers' faces. If they wanted to click it, which they a lot of them did, they could get to the images. But we didn't, and this one we didn't actually tag NSFW because it says USC sex photo, and there's actually not any real nudity going on. So we figured we did enough with them. Here is the, you know, the image we saw originally. This one, actually, curiously enough, we did not tag not safe for work. You know, all our writers and editors have different standards, but actually if you can see right below the jump where it was, and it was actually kind of impossible to still see what was going on. It was still impossible to kind of figure out. You just kind of see like a lot of flesh. You don't actually see sex. So we just, but this is just an example of something we're going to cover, because this was created, this is actually a straight couple that created this in protest against, you know, Rick Santorum's various remarks about gay sex. And so we, you know, we wanted to share that with our readers. And then oftentimes just our coverage of pop culture in general will lead itself to nudity and nakedness. And we always want to make sure to tag that. By tagging it, I'll talk more about the tagging. When I say tagging, I mean actually put the letters NSFW on there. I'll talk more about like when and why we tag in a little bit, but I mean, as I was in the write-up, you guys all, that brought you guys all here, there is a little bit of an element of, by tagging it not safe for work, it becomes a little bit of a dance, because we're definitely trying to warn people not to come here, but at the same token, it does attract people as well. So there's sort of a concern in general about what we're going to be, how much we want to tag it, because we don't want to be teasing our readers. But so what we've been looking at here is basically, it's not porn by any standard. It's not just nudity for the sake of nudity. I'd be lying if I said we didn't write about the guy being naked on top of the tower in L.A. I mean, I'd be lying if him being naked wasn't part of the reason we covered it. That would just be a bullet-faced lie. But that said, we're not manufacturing nudity. We're not running. This isn't the same thing as 10 favorite play. You know, your favorite athletes in Playboy, like some kind of slideshow like that. That's just really obviously pandering and gaming, and just trying to get as many page views as possible. We're covering events that exist and have nudity, and news events that exist and have nudity. And I think, in large part, that's sort of what. Having this stuff on our site, it attracts certain readers, but the way you couch it is also very important for not turning off the other readers. Because, I mean, we're an all-weekly, so they're expecting us to cover things we're not always going to, you know, other places won't touch. But by the same token, it just goes back to you don't flash them if they don't want to be flashed. So this is not porn. But speaking of porn, right now I'm going to go through a bunch of slides. We're going to get into some data. The whole methodology. We'll call this case study one. These are the Avian Awards in Vegas. And I'm not sure if you guys know about the Avian Awards, but they are the Oscars of porn. They've been going yearly since 1984. The most recent ones were in January of this year at the Hard Rock in Vegas. And they basically are an Oscars for the adult industry. It's also coupled with the Adult Entertainment Expo. It's the biggest expo trade show devoted to like sex toys, videos, like all kinds of stuff. And this was a big event on a national scale. It was in Vegas. And we sent a photographer there, and we wanted to roll it out to all 13 of our cities. But the thing is, we have 13 cities, and as I said, we have New York, we have LA, we have Dallas, we have Houston, we have Minneapolis. All these cities have different standards about what they want on their site, and very much so, they have different readerships. The people in New York and LA are going to be a little bit more, and I'm not trying to do the coastal thing, but because I'm from Houston, but people in New York and LA are going to be a little bit more liberal about how much nudity they're going to allow in their daily scope. And also, LA is in a special case because LA is the home of the porn industry, so it's almost a local story for them. It just happens to be in Vegas. So we had to figure out how to roll this out in a ways that would get it out to all our readers, because it was a national event, and that it was, you know, just as if all our papers would cover the Grammys or the Emmys or the real Oscars. This year we decided for all our papers we were going to cover the Oscars of porn, because we already had a guy down there and it made sense to just syndicate it across all our sites. So what we did is we basically split it into four separate slideshows. He sent back a ton of images, and it took quite a while to run through them all, and it's more laborious than, it's not as fun as it sounds actually. But what we did is we split it into safe for work-ish, we'll call it, content, and totally not safe for work content. So this is a slideshow from the Adult Entertainment Expo. This went on all 13 of our sites. This actually features no nudity, no nudity. So it doesn't have a not safe for work tag. It does obviously, as you can see from this image, it does have a lot of suggestive material. So this wasn't put on any of our home pages, but this was definitely like we let people know it was there. We did a separate slideshow in all the cities. We were lucky enough, our actual guy who was there, his name's Igor, he had an end to the actual award show, which most media don't get into. And so we did a separate slideshow, and this ran in all our cities as well. This was the actual award show, and this was actually quite similar to most award show you'd see. There were acts, there were bands, there were people walking up on stage. I mean, the awards themselves, there are awards for, you know, Entertainer of the Year and Director of the Year and Score. There are awards also for, you know, Best Money Shot and Best Gangbang and stuff like that. So, I mean, but the actual visual presentation of it isn't that not safe for work. So this ran on all our sites as well. But then we went for it with Nude Porn Stars Avian Awards 2012, which if you had an SEO robot writing a headline, you would probably create this headline. This we only ran in New York and Los Angeles, because those were the two cities, as I said, that had a little more open about what they were going to have on their sites. What we did, though, is we had on the bottom of all these slideshows, we had you can't see it here because of the screen grab, but we had a big fat link that said, if you'd like to see the nudity, click here. So this is one of the few times where we actually had a double opt-in, to use a marketing term. Normally we would just have some sort of nudity on our site, and we're going to tag it as such, and if the reader wants to click in, he or she can click in and get it. In this case, though, since it was nudity and about porn, we felt the need to have like almost a double opt-in. So if they clicked here and they already established themselves as someone who wants to look at this, someone who's not at work, or someone, you know, who has their own office door or something, then we let them opt in double, and then so this is how they got to this. I mean, we could have probably gotten more page views, of course, if we just run this in all our cities, but then that's just, I mean, it's titled Nude Porn Stars, so it's sort of, you know, we actually have standards too. One other thing we did was, as you guys know, as you're all probably tired, like one of the biggest part of these conferences is the parties that surround it, South by Southwest included, but We also ran a slideshow in New York and LA of a party. It was the, is anyone up? I don't know if you guys are familiar with this site. It's a sketchy site where people, it's basically kind of amateur porn, but we didn't actually run anything about the site. We went to the party. And this is actually the sketchiest image from there. Celeste, you think that. But so, the thing is when we do this kind of content, it's a little tough to get the word out. You might think, well, geez, this promotes itself, but, we've all probably been in online media for years now, and nothing promotes itself. The thing is you're not going to get a lot of people putting this on their Facebook. Not a lot of people are going to let their high school friends know that they liked nude porn stars at AVN Awards. And when coupled with that is the fact that Facebook won't let you put that on there. I mean, you can put it on there, but then you'll get your page banned because they don't want nudity on their site. Some people might tweet it. In terms of Google, we can get some SEO juice off of this, but a lot of it just sort of has to happen. As you can see, this is what our web editor in LA did, our new web editor. He put this up on our Facebook, and we made sure that the image itself was totally safe for work. And he made sure to tell people what it was, though, because we weren't hiding it, but we weren't also flaunting it. And as you can see, only 11 people liked this, but we got thousands of referrals from this. This is basically people who liked it and didn't want to admit it online. The same went with the tweets. The good thing about the Twitter, though, is there are a lot of porn stars on Twitter. They're not as interesting as you might imagine. They're kind of boring sometimes, but this one, for example, has 52,000 followers. And a random reader, Silver Lake Jane, which is a neighbor in LA, she actually congratted Bobby Starr. And then Bobby Starr retweeted this, and this is where we got a lot of traffic from Twitter as well. So all told, in the first week, we had one photographer. You can see the numbers, 404 photos. And we got 2.4 million page views from this. It brought in a lot of readers. It brought in a lot of readers looking around, and we got a lot of, as you might have guessed, we got a lot of pages per visit and very little time on page because people were just clicking through the images. I don't have a lesson in here or anything. I just thought I'd share some data. It still continues to get traffic. This kind of stuff will get traffic year-round, of course, even if you quit promoting it altogether. So there's the numbers. That's what that did. But so, I guess moving back to a larger, so that's case study number one. And then moving back to like a larger issue of this, so what is not for safe for work? I mean, I would argue that a lot of the images you're seeing here, with myself in particular, the Insane Clown Posse image, like they are not necessarily titillating, but you don't actually have to be turned on to piss off your boss. And this becomes a larger issue of, and this is where it intersects with sexuality in general and what people consider to be sexy, what people consider to be too sexy. And, we say not safe for work, but, that's just a broad term the internet has adopted. But it also is, not safe for certain people in your life to see you looking at it. It's just basically not safe for work becomes a catch-all. And it depends on really what, I mean, the biggest joke about not safe for work is, well, where do you fucking work, Because if I work at AVN Awards, or if I work at PETA, then, pictures of animals being abused are not safe for work. I mean, it becomes a classic joke, but so we have to really consider this, though, because we don't ever want to get any, we want to give people content, and like I said, this is a very small part of what we do in terms of our editorial coverage, but we do want to cover this stuff because we find it interesting, and it's also a big part of, the alternative media. But at the same time, we really don't want to get people fired, but it becomes more difficult than you might imagine to know, when something is, the classic, where do you draw the line? This is the safest image you will see this today. This is Justice Potter Stewart. He was a Supreme Court justice, and he helped write the opinion on the landmark hardcore porn case. And this was the classic, I know it when I see it. He later softened that position and admitted that it was very tough to build legal precedent from that. But that is sort of a lot of what we're dealing with. I mean, if you see a penis or genitals in general or really obvious nipple, then I think most of us would consider that to be not safe for work. That would be by most standards, although some people might not consider it as such. But it just hits sexuality a bit in general because it becomes an issue of who's in the picture, what they're doing, and who they could potentially be turning on. So I know y'all are all probably a little tired, but I'd like to do a little bit of, we have a small group here, so I think it could work. I'd like to do a little bit of audience participation. I promise you don't have to stand up or anything, but I'm going to run through some images, and if we could all just, those who wish to participate, if you could just raise your hand if you think something is safe for work. So if I'm about to go through some pics, and let's raise your hand if you think something is safe for work, please. Oh, this, yes, correct. Well, there is no correct. Shit, wrong answer. No, there is no correct. I just belied my whole thesis. But yes, yeah, so Potter Stewart, probably a hand raise. So let's go through some of these. So then, is this safe for work? Awesome. How about this? How about this? All right, all right. How about this? I like some of the grimaces, the pain decision. How about this? How about this? Okay, I feel like I'm the optometrist suddenly. Okay, this one, this one. How about this? How about this? And finally, how about this guy? Okay, so it's actually some consistency in here, but it's he didn't actually say this, for the record. I'm not putting words in Potter Stewart's mouth, but I think that like a lot of what we'll see here is there was a little bit of disparity. There was some pretty much everyone seemed to agree that, for the most part, not everyone, but a lot of people agreed that the woman with, you can almost see her nipples, that this was at the mermaid parade in Coney Island, that this was not. But I think it becomes interesting when you get into terms of our sexuality, like these two images, because basically this is basically an equivalent amount of nudity, but one is fairly heterosexual and one is definitely not, presumably. So, but if you look, I mean, yes, you can kind of see a little bit more of their, I mean, I'll just speak explicitly, you can kind of see a little bit more of their packages, but at the end of the day, it is very similar nudity, but one is very gay and the other one is, you know, presumably very straight. And this becomes a larger issue, though, I mean, because, as I mean, most of our editors and writers are liberal thinking in these matters, and they're not, I mean, actually, I think none of these images, just because of our audience, none of these images would we have tagged not safe for work. If they were, that is, that said, if they were the sexiest image in the batch, like if we had a whole slideshow and one of these was the sexiest image we could find, or the sexiest image in a blog post, this would be, we would not have tagged any of this. But that said, we're an alternative media organization, and there are different considerations for everyone. But I think that, I mean, the large question does come when you get into, like, this guy. I mean, again, I'll go back to that, this guy versus these guys, because, I mean, in general, just when you get into, like, in this guy, for example, like, when you get into, like, this is seen as not safe for work because he's a man and he's leering at us. Whereas if a woman was doing the same, we probably would have more hands saying it is safe for work. And I'm not providing an answer. I'm just saying these are some of the things we're grappling with because, like I said, we wouldn't have tagged any of it, but I can understand how other people might. But it does touch on some definite issues with our challenges in the way that our society views certain brands of sexuality, because if it's just a, because this was actually this guy, for example, this dude was walking down the street at 2 p.m. on a Sunday, and he wasn't getting arrested. He was totally legal. He does have great abs and a full banana hammock, though. So it becomes an issue, though, where, I mean, by tagging it not safe for work, it's almost a political statement in itself, and saying, well, no, this is like sexy time. This is aberrant a little bit. But at the same token, like it's not necessarily, but it's just, I mean, I think every news organization has to deal with this on its own, and frankly, every editor, him or herself, is going to deal with this on their own. But for the most part, I guess I'm just trying to get across here that a lot of it depends on who's being sexy in the picture, is depending on how we look at it. But so then you get to the big question, like, when do you tag it not safe for work? Because as I've said, tagging it as not safe for work is definitely a good way to get traffic. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, it might keep some people away who don't want to see it, but there are people who will gravitate towards that traffic. That said, you don't really want to be a tease. You don't want to, in any way, Nothing will get you an angry comment faster than saying something is not safe for work and then having someone click all the way through that slideshow and then saying, you fucking prudes, like, you screwed me. And yes, you can, I know you might be thinking, well, that's just some horny, lonely dude anyway, who cares about him? But at the same token, though, that speaks to our entire role as media in that, like, we don't want to deceive our readers. And I think it does erode our trust in general if we're seen as the people who tag things as not safe for work and we're just trying to trick people into becoming readers. I think that erodes credibility in our taco stand reviews. That erodes credibility in our theater reviews and in our actual news stories. If we're not being straight up and honest with our readers, then we're kind of being assholes. And so that said, you want to give fair warning if something is not safe for work, but I guess you don't want to abuse the tag either because then it becomes meaningless. And so in terms of where to place it, this is just an example. These are our roles of our slideshows. These are all our slideshows in one batch. So in terms of promoting it and placing it on the site, like, it's pretty clear there are two things here that are not safe for work because we have the big NSFW, but as you can see, they're mixed in with, you know, Deer Tick, you know, the band, and, you know, an Occupy Wall Street story. And so the cover image selection is very important for us here because we want to, not everyone reads words. Some people just look at pictures. As much as journalists, we like to think they read our words. They don't always do that. But we don't want to flash them with too much in the beginning, but at the same token, we kind of want to let them know that something's there too. So I think the editor, this is in New York, I think the editor made the selections to let you kind of know that 2001 and NSFW, like, okay, that's going to have some nudity in it. So he picked this woman who is not nude in the slightest, but, you know, she's kind of pointing, it's like a hole in the stocking that, like, points to the sexuality underneath. So it's the same thing with these two. I mean, we have A Tribute to Girls in Glasses, which is, yeah, that's not exactly pure journalism, that one. But right next to it, we have an Egyptian Revolution Anniversary Rally, which is some serious stuff. And then we have, right next to that, a concert again. And as you can see, both these images were picked because we didn't want to, and this is just coming, these are different editors who probably loaded these two things, so it's not like it was some master decision. It's just part of our editorial flow. We wanted to make sure that if people wanted to look at certain pieces of content, they would know it's there and they could click it, but they would not, we didn't want to, I mean, Egyptian Revolution Anniversary Rally is obviously a very huge, important deal, and we don't want to put boobs right next to that. But if people want to click on the boobs, they can click it. So the big question here is, I mean, for a lot of people, is that how does this affect our ad revenue? And frankly, I'll be honest, we have kind of separation of church and state in our papers. We're big on, you know, we're not going to attack our advertisers just because they're our advertisers, but we're very big on editorial as its own operation. But I always kind of assumed that when we covered, like, a burlesque show or when we covered a porn convention, I always kind of assumed that our ad people were really freaked out about it. I always assumed that they were like, I know you guys want us to get paid. I know you guys are supposed to get page views, but you're just doing a bunch of naughty stuff. But I actually, in preparation for this, I actually talked to a bunch of our sales reps, and they actually surprised me. This is actually from a video games burlesque show, by the way. She was dressed up as Samus from Metroid. They actually had very similar concerns to what we had, in that they were fine with it, and they found that our advertisers were fine with it, as long as it was part of a larger package. If all of a sudden our site becomes LA Weekly's Burlesque Hour, then yeah, that's a completely different thing. But if we produce 50 pieces of content a day and then two of those a week are in some way dealing with not safe for work or nudity, our advertisers just see that as the larger range of our readers. And I was really surprised, to be honest, that they didn't support it, but they weren't antithetical. And, I mean, the big thing, too, is just making sure you're not pandering. We don't want to, I mean, it's one thing to write about a porn convention that's already happening, it's another thing to take a nude woman to a place and, like, start shooting photos of her. I mean, because that's creating the nudity, that's creating the scenario instead of just documenting it. So, it actually worked out. Anyway, that was a good conversation because I was expecting some bitching since I finally asked them what they wanted, but they were okay with it. So to wrap up, I kind of want to kick it to questions soon, but I want to wrap up with one last little mini case study. This is actually my favorite event we cover. This is World Naked Bike Ride. This is, which is an international event in which people ride bikes naked. I mean, I know World Naked Bike Ride might make you think it's something else entirely, but it's exactly what it sounds like. I believe it was started in 2004. It's all about body positive. It's sort of like your Burning Man kind of people, your rave kids a little bit, but it's basically just literally across the world. In June, a bunch of people, it's a kind of like critical mass, a bunch of people get naked and then they ride their bikes. I mean, to me it seems like that would make your seat kind of dirty, but that's just me. So, I mean, you know, so then here's some photos we ran, and these are people riding through downtown Los Angeles. And by the numbers, we did a slideshow in LA in 2010, and over the last 2 years, it's got 2.8 million page views. But what I find most interesting about this is that when we first put it up, I think it got like 800,000, and then it just sort of stopped, you know. And, you know, it has a long tail, of course. I mean, as everything does, but nudity does have some long tail for sure. But then, just as a result of excitement about the next year, and as a result of people Googling it, we just saw a huge burst. I was the web editor in LA at the time, and I was looking at Chartbeat, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I didn't even know this slideshow existed on our site at the time. But because I was like, wait, who put World Naked Bike Ride up? But it was actually my predecessor a full year before, but it just started exploding, and people kept linking to it, and we actually got more page views the second year round. And it actually, you know, as a result, we also got some of our other papers to cover it in their cities. And we didn't even cover it the second year in LA because of like a complication with the photographer. But it, it just worked out really well. And it's a very body positive image, and it's a very positive body positive event. And you know, in the page views are nice, but I think my favorite part about it is while the event was going on, all these nude bicyclists rode by a homeless man, and he was so overcome with the joy and magic of naked people on bikes that he had to share his own nudity. He didn't have a bike, although he does have a cart if you look behind him, but I just thought this was an amazing body positive moment, and I thought it was really awesome that our photographer got it. I mean, over the picture, you know, over like, say, like, you know, this picture or the pictures of the women, I mean, I thought this was just an amazing capture of a very magical moment that was happening in downtown LA, and it was just kind of great. So I could leave it on the other slide, but I guess I'll just kick it to this one while we ask questions if you guys want. But that's about all I've got. I mean, I want to kick it open to questions. I'm sure people have some questions. There might be, some moral concerns we could talk about. I'm nervous and waiting for those, so just let me know what's going on. I believe you have to stand up to the mic, though, to ask the questions, even though we have a small group. And or is this like the Facebook thing where no one wants to admit that they're here?
I'll ask a question. As far as scheduling out what you do for the next month, does it ever happen that somebody on staff says, well, there are definitely some NSFW events next month, right? We're going to cover some of those, right? Because people are always looking for page views. What's the pressure like for that? Does that exist? Talk about that.
No, I think it definitely exists. There's definitely, I'm trying to have it both ways here. I'm talking about how we're not creating nudity and we're covering things that already exist, but we are drawn to those things because they're fun to look at and they also help establish our identity. So definitely editorially, if something's coming up, it's definitely something we're gonna put on a docket and prepare coverage for sure. Because it's almost the kind of thing where like if World Naked Bike Ride happened again and we didn't even know about it, then we're gonna be really kicking ourselves. And it's also good to know that about that stuff too, because as I was saying, like we don't. I mean, after this presentation, you guys probably think this is all we run, but we run all kinds of stuff, and we definitely want to make sure, I mean, there's not a secret formula, like 0.2% NSFW, but if we already have a couple things, if we already know we've got, this video game burlesque show coming up, and also there's the PETA protest coming up next week, and then someone else is like, there's also Star Wars burlesque. It's like, well, no, because we already got two burlesque things going on this month, and I don't want to run it into the ground. So, yeah, but the patriot pressure, of course, is there. Anybody else? Hey, thanks. I know these guys, they're just shills, but.
With the page views, with the page views, my question is, you're making decisions on do we tag it NSFW or is it clearly in the title? Don't mm-hmm. tease, don't surprise. Do you look at stats to tell you, hey, this article in general, somebody should be reading it 5 minutes and it worked well or it didn't? Are you looking at that or just impressions? How deep do you look at, you know, hey, we laid it this way and then we lay it a different way and seeing the impact?
No, we definitely look at time on site and we definitely look at, I mean, we'll look at different, we'll try and find two similar pieces of content, think about how it was tagged. But I wish we did more of that, frankly. It's just, it's the classic thing with analytics where, like, it would be awesome, but, like, we got to write another story. But we definitely look at it to a certain extent and compare. A lot of times, though, I think the actual tagging is, it really does come down to more, I mean, the choice to cover the nudity might be promoted by, like, its potential boost for our analytics and our audience, but the decision how to tag it and how to frame it usually kind of is independent of that. It's a little bit more like, how do we do this without looking too skeezy? Right. Yeah.
So you said that people don't share to Twitter and Facebook as much. What about other services like Reddit and FARC? The not safe work stuff seems more up their alley. Is there more sharing to those services?
Yeah, in general, yes, for sure. There's more. I mean, yeah, there's a whole not safe work Reddit subreddit. So, and you know, actually, HuffPo will link to it too. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely ever other aggregator sites that'll get on, and often it'll get on without even one of us submitting it. You know, people will find it organically. That now that happens for sure. It's just because I think part of that is, like, when you submit to FARC, you know, I don't even think it says it attacks your I don't think it even attaches your screen name to your submission, right? So I think that's a lot of, they're kind of having a little bit of a cloak there, so they can share it and think it's awesome and let their community is see it, but it's not the same thing as at Keith Plochek saying, dude, check out this slideshow, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, but so I think for sure that there are other places. And there's also, like, aggregator sites like Gorilla Mask, and in addition, there's the Smoking Jacket, which is like Playboy's supposedly safe for work site. They actually have a roundup of links that we'll submit it to. I mean, we're definitely pushing it out, like, via email and, you know, by trying to get it submitted to certain places, for sure. I just think that people don't attach their name to it as much as they would to other content.
Thanks.
Yeah, no worries.
Is there ever a time when the not safe for work tag is used for violent images?
No, definitely. I just, this was focused on nudity, but no, for sure. And we don't ever use it for language because, I mean, we're allowed to say fucking headlines, but I mean, most places aren't. But no, very much so. I mean, that's, I think even like when Salon ran those Abu Ghraib images, you know, back in 2003 of, you know, the torture, I believe that was tagged not safe for work. And if there's you know, violence in a protest or something like that, we would definitely use it for sure. I mean, that actually kind of, given our, you know, somewhat free-willing mentality, I mean, we'd probably use that more for violence than we would for sex, to be honest. But no, for sure. I think it applies to both. Some people on the internet, someone else might want to jump in if they know for sure, but I think there's been efforts by some online communities to distinguish the two. Like, one is not safe for work, the other one is NSFL, which is like not safe for life. I think is what the, is that what?
Safe for lunch.
Not safe for lunch. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But so the people try to make that distinction because, like, I mean, again, not to pander to the horny guy, but like, if someone clicks something thinking they're going to get boobs and they see something else entirely, they're going to be annoyed. But yeah, not safe for lunch. Oh, that's good.
Dead
okay.
Bodies.
Dead bodies. You know, I mean, kind of things that we definitely would cover. Like, we're not going to hide from violence at a protest. We're not going to. I mean, that's like a. A journalistic imperative, like, way beyond any of this stuff. I mean, but no, for sure, people would use that for that. Cool. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you hanging around for me.